Peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this evening will be taken from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I'll be reading an account of Elijah the Tishbite, the prophet of God. I'm going to actually read the entire chapter just for the context of it, but I'm not going to preach on the whole chapter. So I'm just going to read the entire chapter of 1 Kings 17. I'm going to begin reading from verse 1 and read through the end of the chapter. Again, that's 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll begin with verse 1, where we read as follows in the name of our Lord. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it on to me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. In other words, he died. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again, or into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed the truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Lately, I've been meditating quite a bit on Philippians and on one particular verse that has been in my mind a lot. And the verse is simply this out of the 10th or the 3rd verse, or the 3rd chapter, excuse me, the 10th verse says along these lines, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. If you're familiar with the 3rd chapter of Philippians, you're familiar with what Paul talks about there when he talks about everything that he had ever counted as worth something in his life was now just a pile of rubbish. The only thing that he really wanted to know over and above everything else was Christ and him only. He says the power of his resurrection, he goes on to say, being made conformable unto his death, and so on. And I've thought about this quite a bit, because actually the Christian church is built on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there would be no hope at all. Everything that you and I have trusted in would simply be lost. And this is what we read also when Paul writes to the Corinthian people in the 15th chapter of the first letter that he writes, talks about it there very clearly. It's the power of the resurrection in which we now live. It's the resurrection, actually, that grants unto us the faith to actually live out our lives as the followers of Christ. It's not easy, or it's not hard, rather, to see the power of the resurrection, even in this event that we have read here. As the Lord thy God liveth, is repeated a few different times by Elijah and by the woman. Elijah, of course, first of saying this when he addresses Ahab, who was the king of Israel at that time and who was one of the most wicked kings up to that point. And he says basically this, the Lord lives. And you see, I think to us, it's something to meditate upon or dwell upon as we live in a world that is ever turning away from him, is ever turning away from his word. The Lord is alive. There was a movement a few years back that said that God is dead, that no longer is he around. He has no impact, as it were, upon our society and upon our world. Early on in the movement of this country, there was a group of people called deists, and essentially they didn't say God was dead, but they said that God kind of put everything into motion like the great watchmaker, and then, you know, dialed it up, wound it up really good, and then just simply departed and left us to our own devices. And sometimes you would wonder that perhaps that's the case. Perhaps that's the case for this great country in which we live, but not only this country, this world, with all the wickedness and the evil that we see with the rulers in various lands who seem to have only one thing in mind, their own greatness and the destruction of anybody who is against them. In the midst of all of this, in the midst of the chaos of this world and the teachings that are prevalent in our society that cause our children to perhaps question whether God is really real or the creation story is correct, or all of these various things that we have held on to all of our lives, as we have taken the Word of God at face value, what the Word of God says we in fact believe. Elijah simply says that this is the way it's going to be. I don't intend tonight to somehow go through this story and make it say things that it doesn't. It's just simply an account that's very, very evident, or speaks very powerfully of the providing hand of God, how God watches over this man of God, Elijah, his prophet, and he uses a widow woman over off in a foreign country who doesn't even belong to the children of God, so to speak. She's this foreigner. And this woman is the one who would sustain life for Elijah. God actually has done a marvelous thing in raising his son. Because in raising his son, he has granted unto all of us life. And a life that is far beyond what we could ever imagine. We prayed tonight, even this evening we prayed, that God would sustain life here in this world, but he's gone far beyond that. He has given us life eternal. And that's a sweet message. It's a message that needs to be proclaimed over and over again. We need to somehow, in some way, shape, or form, get the message of the power of the resurrection across to this world, to the people that we encounter in our world who are simply going about living life according to their own understanding and reasoning and not according to the Word of God. They need to pick this Word up. We need to pick this Word up and read it and hear the voice of God as he sounds forth from this Word to us. Look at Elijah. Now, Elijah was a human. And we know he had his failings. You don't need to read too many chapters further here, and you'll see Elijah, who performed such powerful miracles, running for his life. But that doesn't take away the efficacy or the pointedness or the value of the Word of God. Jesus came to give life. There's an account in the Gospel of Luke that's quite striking. It involves a widow again. In the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, perhaps you're familiar with this. Jesus is here now. 11th verse of the 7th chapter. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, Jesus did. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, "Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, or the thing that the young man was laying on, and they stood still. They that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. No martyr can do that. It is the power of the resurrection that sounds forth from the pages of the Bible. A God who lives, who is alive, who sent his son, and his son came here, and yes, he died for the sins of the world, but he didn't stay dead. He is alive. And because he is alive, he has changed the whole scope of humanity. Humanity still dwells in the realm of death, and they deal with this all the time, and they suffer under it because they don't understand the power of the resurrection, and they don't understand the resurrected one. Why do you think that Paul was unafraid to enter into Caesar's household? Why do you think Paul was unafraid to go into places where his very life was at stake and he could very easily be killed? Why do you think Paul, after being stoned to death, essentially, rose back up and went straight back into the city? Because he understood the power of the resurrection. This widow woman understood, as she confesses to Elijah in this account that we have read here tonight, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have no cakes. That's all I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little bit of oil in a vessel or a cruse. In some way, small way, she also acknowledged that the Lord God of Israel is alive. And this has a great amount of weight for her as well, because God often would mock these other countries, these other nations rather. He would say stuff like to them through his prophets. He would say, well, look at this. They take a piece of wood, and they take this wood, and not only do they cut it and burn it in order to bring heat into their house and to cook their food, but then they carve it into some sort of image, and they bow down in front of this thing, and they ask it all kinds of questions, and the thing can't do nothing for them. Not so with me. Not so with me, he says. Why would we follow after the teaching of death like the ancient people of old and the ancient Israelites who God condemned for that? Because they simply would not listen to him. They wouldn't listen. Ahab, this king who was the king at the time of Elijah here, at least in this part of the story, wouldn't listen. Jeremiah, when he prophesied to the kings that he dealt with, and King Zedekiah in particular, they wouldn't listen. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to come into here with the Chaldean army, and he's going to take his vengeance upon you unless you turn to your God, and they wouldn't listen. So why should we be surprised when people don't listen? Why should we be surprised when people hear about the power of the resurrection and they seemingly turn a deaf ear? And they go about living in the realm of death. And we find that they run to the shadows and they run to the darkness and they revel in the deeds and the acts of darkness. It's because they don't know the power of the resurrection. They don't know the newness of life. This little boy, well, maybe he wasn't little. It seems maybe that he was, because he was able to be carried by this prophet. Died. And the prophet raised him to life again by the power of the Word of God and by the living God. You see, the message that we bring to this world is a message of life. The message that I bring to you and that I preach to my own heart this evening is a message of life. There's only one person that I really want to know in this world. There's only one person that my heart longs for all the time, that my heart clings to and cleaves to and runs to. And this is why Paul says, this is what I want to know. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Elijah knew the living God. And so when he turned to Ahab, this wicked king, he had no fear. At least it doesn't say that in the text. He just simply says, as the Lord thy God, or as the Lord God liveth, there is going to be a famine that comes upon this land. And so it is. And so it happens. And he tells the woman, who tells him, I don't have enough stuff to make you bread and to... I can, maybe she had a little bit of water, but I can't make you any bread or food. He says, you just go do it. Because God will take care of the rest. The meal won't fail. The oil won't fail either. Because God is to be trusted. And his word is to be trusted. There's several things in this story that marvel me. One is that the widow listened. The widow who hears the word from Elijah, who she recognizes as the prophet of the Most High God, actually listens to him. She hears the message that he says about this oil and this meal, and she simply does what he tells her. There's nothing about an argument. She just simply tells him the truth, and he says, well, you just go and do what I'm telling you to do, and God will take care of the rest. You see, we can trust the word. Jesus, when he came into this world, fed people. Fed multitudes of people, in fact. 5,000 men plus women and children. But said, that's meaningless. What you actually need to know is me. You need to know me. When they came to him and said, well, what are the works that we must do in order, you know, what are the works of God that we must perform? He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. And then he goes on to tell them. They say, well, what do you mean? Our fathers gave us bread in the wilderness to eat and so on. You know the whole story out of John 6. But the culmination of the story is simply this. Jesus tells them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the resurrection as well, and the life. He is the way, and he is the truth. It is this that we must proclaim, and I know I say this quite often, but you see it out of all of the texts that you read in the scripture. You see it over and over again with Elijah and this young boy who dies. Elijah lays upon this child 3 times, prays to God to give him his life back to him, and his life comes back. Jesus, scanning the world as he could from the cross, said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know that I've come here to bring them life. And he rises from the grave on that glorious Easter morning and changes the scope of history forever. Forever. And Paul says, boy, I want to know him. The widow woman says, after receiving her boy back again to life, says, now by this I know. I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Why? Because she had witnessed life. She had witnessed life. This is what the disciples brought to the world in the book of Acts. They brought to them the power of the resurrection. This one who you slew with wicked hands, Peter says, God raised from the dead, because the scripture says that his Holy One would not see corruption. This is who we need to know. I think as I get older, and I'm not old, I know that, but as I get older, this just becomes more and more evident to me. I need to know him and the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. That resurrection has actually granted unto me newness of life. I no longer live in that old way, in the old way of thinking. I now live according to my new way of living and understanding. Because the resurrected one, Jesus the Christ, has joined himself unto me. The widow woman, like the widow woman, I have beheld the risen Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and now I know. Now I know. I know that what he did on the center cross of Calvary was enough to cover all of my sins. I know that he was never able to be held in that grave. I know that he laid his life down of his own accord. No one killed him. He died of his own accord because he was the one who came here to sacrifice his life for mine. You see, this is the one I want to know. On Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul, in dealing with those people, the scholars of that day, calls them very religious people or superstitious, as the King James puts it. But he tells them, I want to tell you about the one idol that you got set up over there, the one altar to the unknown God. He is the one who has created all things. And when he got done with his sermon, when he came to the resurrection, guess what they did? They mocked. Some mocked. But some said, well, we want to hear you again on this matter. Because that's the essence of what we teach and preach. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the new life that we have in Christ. It's that our God lives and he is fully alive and has granted unto us the ability to actually know him. Because he has given us this bread of life. He has given unto us water, everlasting water that springs up within us like a well that never ever runs dry. And that is his Holy Spirit that dwells within us and instructs us and teaches us and guides us and reminds us over and over again in our lives. It doesn't really matter what goes on in this world. It matters to some degree. But what we must understand is the one who was risen from the grave, the resurrected one. This is who I want to know. What about you? That's really the question tonight. What about you? I know there's a lot of stuff going on in your life. There's fields to be harvested, perhaps, or maybe you're done. There's things that need to be built, and on it goes. There's money that needs to be made. And all of that's okay. There's nothing wrong with any of that. In fact, we're instructed to work, as I've told you before. Read just recently, I know I'm kind of bouncing all over tonight, but read just recently out of Jeremiah. I was struck by what Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, told the people that he was writing a letter to. He says, listen, he says, I know you're in captivity, and I'm paraphrasing here. He says, but you just go about doing your business. You work. Plant vineyards, plant your fields, build houses, raise your children, marry wives, have children. He says, because what you do here in this foreign country, in your captivity in Babylon, will have an effect on the people in which you are living, or with which you are living. We need to understand the power of the resurrection. And we need to live like it in this world. Like those who have no fear of this world and all of its various threats and news reels and so on and so forth. All of that, none of that can touch us. The prophet Elijah would stand up to like 500 prophets all by himself. Because he was a weightlifter. No. Because he knew the living God. He knew the living God. You and I, who are the followers of Jesus Christ tonight, also know the living God. Because he has made himself known through the incarnation of his Son. And Jesus told Martha, as he tells us tonight, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha says, yeah, Lord, I believe that. I believe that you are the Christ who would come into this world. Because God gave her the revelation. You see, this is the whole point of all of that we talk about, even here tonight in the story of Elijah. Elijah demonstrates for the widow woman the power of the living Savior. The Savior who dwelt in eternity past and will dwell in eternity future. The Savior who has brought unto us everything that we need. And this is what Paul says, this is who I want to know. Ephesians. I want to know the one who raises little boys from the dead through his prophet. I want to know the one who spoke this world into existence with his mouth, with his words. I want to know the one who guided Noah to build the ark. The one who raised up the shepherd boy to be a king, from whose lineage the Christ would come. That's who I want to know. I want to know Jesus. Paul has a little prayer here, and I'll close with this in Ephesians 3, 13th verse. Actually, 14th verse, excuse me, in reading to the 21st. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The power of the resurrection. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the power of the resurrection. We thank you for the newness of life. We thank you that indeed, Father, you are in control of our destiny. You are the one who has provided for all that we need. You have granted unto us everything. And so, Father, we pray even this evening that you would grant unto us ears to hear. That we, Father, upon hearing the message of your scripture, would simply believe and would follow you. That we would truly live in the power of the resurrection, and we would make that our goal, even as Paul writes in his letter, Father, we would make that our goal, to know him, to know Jesus, and to strive after that knowledge all of the days of our life, knowing, Father, that this you have given to us in your word and by your Spirit. So grant it unto all of us who are gathered here tonight. And help us, even as we lay our head on our pillows tonight, to rest well. Because indeed we are the children of the Most High God and of the resurrected one, Jesus the Christ. So we thank you, Father, for all these things. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.